changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no.
I want to talk with you about what I'm going to call the third shot. A couple of weeks ago, I was invited to join a friend who is in a bowling league to watch her bowl. So I agreed and I went, and man, the place was packed. We got there, we were some of the first ones there, and the place just filled up, and every lane had two groups of bowlers, eight people, I guess it was, four per team, and it was fun to watch them bowl. Now, I used to be in a bowling league when I was in high school. I was never any good at bowling, never really wanted to be. Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, says there are only two types of bowlers. The ones that are serious about it, have their own balls, they treat it like a sport. And then there are the ones who go, you know what would be hilarious? Let's go bowling. I think it's probably because they serve alcohol with bowling. It's the only sport I know. Well, golf. It's one of the few, let's just say. Anyway. So I was watching everybody, and I was watching the level of their skill and seeing that some people were just amazingly great and some struggled, and some would, even the strugglers would get lucky, and even the great players would throw some 7-10 splits. And it was fun to watch in their reactions. One of the things I noticed was, and there's a whole jump start in this, it was like there are some people who like dribble the ball down the lane, and then there are people who place the ball down so quietly you can barely even hear it. And I noticed those tended to be the ones who had more accuracy. Not being a bowler, I don't know. The point I want to bring up for us today, and that I think is applicable to our everyday life, is that I'm laughing, I'm looking at myself, and I'm seeing all the cat hair on my shirt. The point I want to bring up is that I noticed from watching people play, bowl rather, that there are really only two shots that the bowlers see themselves. And by shots, I mean rolls, I mean just like in golf. I mean, we tend to use the word shot a lot, and I'll just stay with that without getting into guns and stuff like that. But we do tend to use the word shot. Take another shot. You know, come on. Take a new shot. Even if you duff it in pickleball and they want to give you a mulligan, they'll say, hey, take another shot. So I noticed that there was a wide variety of skill level. I actually got to watch a guy bowl a 300, a perfect game. Caught the last roll on my kit phone. It was really cool to watch this guy. People started whispering, you know, as you could see, it was going to be just strike after strike after strike after strike. Looking at the people, though, I noticed that when they turned around from bowling, all right, they would approach the line, they would set up, then they would bowl, and then they would turn around. And if I had to describe their evaluation of their roles on their faces, it fell into one of two categories. And the two categories were, and I've noticed this is true for even pickleball players. In the case of these bowlers, it was, damn. Category number one was, that shot was not good enough. I didn't do good enough in that, okay? That was not what I wanted. It was not what I hoped for. It was not what I expected. So you could read that on people's faces when they turned around from bowling. That was shot number one. The second shot was, it's about damn time. In other words, if they bowl something poorly, then they were upset with themselves for not doing well. And if they did well, the look on their face was, well, it's about damn time. In other words, the thing that was missing from a lot of their faces, in my opinion, was enjoyment, was having a good time. And the people who seemed to be having a good time, even if they were struggling, because I also noticed that most of the bowlers very few were 300 like this guy. But their games varied. They play three games, and so sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down, and that's why you average the scores. And as I was watching this, I was thinking about my own attempts to learn to play pickleball. And I've discovered that I tend to have that same mindset some days when I'm taking it too seriously. When I get there, I'm like, oh man, I'm not playing worth a darn today. And a lot of people say the first game is the game to, you know, work out the kinks and dial everything in. And so I give myself permission for that. But by the time I'm playing the second game, my mind, my ego mind, my limited mind, my human mind is thinking, well, it's about darn time. Why didn't you do that in the first game? So in those polarities, that's no good. It's good, but it's late. In the middle there, we miss the joy of the game, the reason that we even get into it. And I was thinking about when I'm playing and trying to enjoy it more, because one of the things I've noticed is that the better we get at something, the more we enjoy it, the more we look forward to it. But I even noticed there's a guy, and I'm going to name him. His name's Burgess, really nice guy. I think he's from Australia. Anyway, he is a really, really great player. He's one of the top pickleball players when I'm there playing pickleball. And I've noticed Burgess does the same thing, you know? Damn, I'm not playing worth a darn. He said the other day, I'm getting my ass handed to me. And yet he's one of the best players. He's playing against the best players. And I've noticed that, you know, it's either I'm getting my ass handed to me or, well, it's about time. And we need to remember why we got into this in the first place and to be nicer and gentler to ourselves. The great Dennis Waitley, who wrote so many books on success, and he actually did the psychological counseling for the Apollo 11 astronauts. He worked with NASA. He worked with Olympic athletes. His role was to get people's mind into the game. And he discovered that when playing Lee Trevino in golf one day, Trevino would hit a bad shot. Because everybody hits bad shots, even professionals hit bad shots. And instead of stomping, stamping, cursing, whatever, Trevino would close his eyes, and Waitley said it looked like he was conducting an orchestra. He would sit there and he would kind of do this and do that, and then he would go like that. And Waitley finally asked him, "What are you doing?" And Trevino said, "I am re-hitting the shot exactly the way I wanted it to go." In other words, he had no mental attachment at all to what he had just done, the duffed shot that he just hit. He has no mental attachment to that. What he has a mental attachment to is what he actually wanted to happen. And this is the core concept I want to let's get across today, that when we go, for example, you know, you have a Monday and nothing goes bad and you're like, well, it's about darn time. Or we can say it's Monday and then, of course. Or we can begin to replay when something goes wrong in our head and begin to see it the way we want the outcome to be. Because that's the way we train ourselves. If I was attempting to train a dog and all I ever did was spank it for doing the wrong thing, the dog is never going to learn the right thing, and the dog is never going to begin to replicate that behavior. When we do that to ourselves, the same is true. Do you hear me? My daughter and I were watching some show the other day. I forgot what it was. But it was 1970s, and the parenting was harsh, let's put it that way, in the early late 60s, early 70s, a lot like what I got. That being the belief that if you really are hard on people, children, that they will grow up well-behaved, et cetera, et cetera. And what instead happens is they grow up feeling, doubting themselves, et cetera. And The same is true when we treat ourselves not well. We doubt ourselves. We don't benefit ourselves by beating ourselves up. We benefit ourselves by understanding, hey, you know what? You did the best you can. All right. And close your eyes for just a second or 15 seconds and see it having going better. And the same is true if you have a difficult conversation with someone. Close your eyes and imagine how you might have changed your behavior and see it differently, but don't attach any, well, you screwed it up. Let's try not to screw it up this time. We cannot do any better. The dog cannot do any better than we treat it. We cannot do any better than we treat ourselves. That's why it's so important when you're working with the dog, especially with a new behavior, to reward it. And by that, I mean, I read a book on dog training and he says, taste, not tummy. In other words, if you're trying to get your dog to sit or whatever, it's better to get the dog to sit 10 times in different spots and give them just a tiny amount of food, just a little sliver, just enough for them to taste, than it is to do it once and give them a big hunk and they run away. We need to continue to give ourselves those little tastes, those little appreciations, those little acceptances. We have, so many of us, picked up that negative mode in our own brains from our parents or from our upbringing or from an abusive spouse or relationship. And we can change it, but we get to change it by seeing our life differently and ultimately then living our life differently.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.